Okay, we're on top number page 258. We're just above the halfway point. The line starts, "Commercial Coastal Departes Maharamak." Okay. 499 in the old edition. We are talking about the question which is asked, which we'll be discussing for many weeks, is the idea that how can Hashem be one with limitation? Is basically the question. He puts it in very fancy Kabbalistic terms, but it says that Hashem's ability to limit is also totally and completely united with Him, is the way that basically comes out. And we're now talking about the differences in Seder Istalshelus. So according to the Ramosha Cordovero at the top of the page, you have a creation of something from nothing, which is basically Ilo Va'olo, a cause and effect. That cause A causes effect A, and effect A becomes cause B, which affects cause
B,
which affects effect B,
right,
which becomes cause C, etc.
Right.
That's the chain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this happens such that even in Atzilus, because of its proximity to infiniteness of Hashem, maintains still that integrity of being infinite, because the word Atzilus means Etzel, meaning near, or emanated, meaning directly drawn from. But the ideal is that there are 10 different infinities in the world of Atzilus. There's Chachma, which is infinite, there's infinite Bina, there's infinite etc. Okay? So now, Va'avgam simsum rabim ma'oid. So he says, now this is where he brings in the paradigm from the Ramak, which we mentioned, that was the Rizal, which we mentioned last week, which is talked about in Shari Yechid Va'amuna. That if you cut infinity in half, you still have infinity.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So he says, it's not going to help just to have an ilu va'olol. Even if you have a lot of tzimtzumim, even if you have an infinite number of tzimtzumim, you're never going to get there from here.
Right.
You're never going to hear from there. L'hiyayz geshem av ka'afer b'histal shulis haruch nis mesichlim nivdalim. So he says, you're not going to have anything like a physical dirt, for example, which is going to chain down from this, from spirituality.
Right.
Even shal malachim. Even just to say that the dirt should come from angels. Why does he say even angels? Angels, for the most part, are in Olam Yetzirah. Some of them are in Bria. One of them is in Atzilus. So they have separate entities. They recognize their own existence.
Yes.
Malachim are talked about in Sefer Kabbalah, that Malachim have a composition. They for sure have a form. And how you perceive them depends on how smart you are.
Right.
As we know that Moshe perceives Malachim as Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh, and Yeshaya perceived Malachim as these six-winged creatures, and Yechezkel perceived Malachim as a race chariot. Okay, but it's all, they're all looking at the same thing, it's just each one had their own level of perception.
Perception, yeah.
Okay, so the... nonetheless, they have, all Malachim have recognized their own existence.
Yes.
Okay, not that they have a freedom of choice to do anything on their own, but because not only do they recognize their own existence, they also recognize where their life force is coming from and their bottle to it. So they're constantly in a state of bittel, which is exemplified in Yechezkel's vision of the Merkava with the Eifanim. Eifanim, which is translated literally wheels.
Right.
I'm talking about, yeah? So the wheels, why are they called wheels, is because they're constantly bowing down. Meaning to say, as soon as they stand up, they bow down again. So they're going in a constant up-down type movement. So right. To Yechezkel, it perceived, it looked like wheels.
Tops always on the bottom.
What do they call those? Not spoilers. What do they call those? Spinners.
Spinners, yes.
Yeah. So that's what the Afanim are, spinners. Okay? Whether they're alloy or chrome, whatever it is, happens to be over there, but, maybe they're a little bling in them. Yechezkel didn't go there. Okay, they were pretty cool because they sparked.
Yes. Indeed.
Okay. I have seen blinged out cars that literally they were on fire underneath them.
Yes.
They have these like light things. You know,
LEDs lights, yeah, underneath side.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so to get from a malach, now the whole purpose of a malach is to convey godliness from a higher level to a lower level. Mm. We said it many times, the malach has a switch. When it's in the down position, it's carrying godliness down into this world.
Mm-hmm.
A conduit, a pipeline, however you'd like to say it, a circuit.
Okay.
So the Alter Rebbe maintains that if you're doing Elu V'Olul, even to get from a malach to this physical world is not going to work. Because malachim are still ruchnius.
Right.
You're not gonna, you have to get out of the ruchnius into the gashnius. In fact, as the Arizal points out, that there are two major tzimtzumim. Okay. There's the first Simpson Arishon, which Simpson Arishon, the purpose of it is to conceal the infiniteness of Hashem and reveal Hashem's finiteness. That's Simpson Arishon.
Okay.
Then you have Simpson Ha'acharon, the last Simpson. What's the last Tzimtzum? The last Tzimtzum is from Ruchnius to Gashnius. That's us.
Yeah.
It's the same of Ein Aruch. Okay? Neither one of it is comparable. Just like it is that Hashem's finiteness is no way comparable to His infiniteness,
right.
So too also Gashnius is no way comparable to Ruchnius, to spirituality. And there's no bridge that you can cross to get from one to the other. There is no direct connection. You have to do the leap in order to get there. What do you get? I mean, the whole purpose of Yechezkel's vision is to talk about the direct source of all of the living things. I have a problem more than living things. It's a direct source from Yetzirah to Asiyah, to this physical world. And so therefore we know that you could see that the Nefesh Bahamas comes from the Pnei Adam on the Merkava. And an animal's, a cow's soul comes from the Pnei Shor, etc. A wild animal is going to come from the Pnei Ari. Okay, but that's easy because... And you can say that my neshama is in Asiya, and it's coming from, and its source is in Yetzira, and you don't need Bria Yeshma Ayin for that, because a neshama is a neshama. It's not a physical thing.
Right.
You don't need the quantum leap, and there's a direct relationship, the my neshama and its source in Yetzira. So for that, it'll help an Elu V'Olul, and even with that, the Alter Rebbe still says elsewhere that to get from Yetzirah to Bria, you still need to have a Yesh Ma'ayan. Mm-hmm. But he kind of refers to them as baby Yesh Ma'ayans. They're not these magnanimous. The translation is my own. They're not these magnanimous quantum leaps.
Uh-huh.
They're little quantum leaps.
Oh, good.
Okay, we're like little infinities.
Yes,
they're little quantum leaps.
Yes.
Because Yetzirah to Asiya, there are points of comparability.
Mm, right.
The only deal is if you keep on cutting Yetzirah in half, you're going to have a little less Yetzirah.
Mm.
You got to jump out of that realm, that system, and jump into Asiya. And that's discussed at great length by the Rebbe Rashab, that where does this happen specifically? Where you have this change between the spiritual worlds is in Malchus, because Malchus, did we talk about this last week?
Right.
Malchus is dual functioning.
Right.
Did we talk about this last week?
No.
Malchus is dual functioning. It relates to the previous nine spheres, and when it's Malchus of that world,
right.
As it says, Kol ha-Nahar is Hochel El Yam, all the rivers go to the sea, and Malchus is referred to as the sea. It's the receptacle of all of the hashpo, all of the godliness which is flowing from the nine spheres in that world.
Okay.
But then Malchus is also called in the Zohar Ematata, the lower mother, which means, so how does there only one way to become a mother, and that's to give birth.
Right.
So then what happens is Malchus stops relating to the previous nine spheres,
right,
and now relates to the next ten spheres,
right,
as a mashpia to them. So where's the transference is in Malchus itself.
Right.
Pnimius of Malchus relates to the inner level of Malchus, relates to the previous nine spheres.
Mm.
The external expression of Malchus, Chtsainius of Malchus, relates to the next world. Because that's the purpose of Malchus. Malchus, which I've translated as royalty, Ein Melech B'Lay Am, there's no nation without a people. So the Malchus' purpose is to create the people. To create what there should be a Malchus for.
Uh-huh.
So as it relates to the other sphere, so it says quite clearly in the Kabbalah, and the Ramak brings it down, it's brought down in just about everybody's probably in the Zohar too, that Malchus Nasa Keser. Okay? Malchus of the higher world becomes Keser, the desire,
right,
of the lower world. Meaning to say that all of the godliness needed to create the next world is going to be already in Malchus.
Right.
All it has to do is it has to be expressed now. So we see, therefore, that there is a relationship between Asiya and Yitzira, between action and formation,
right,
and the connection between them is in the dual functioning of Malchus. And it's not just to say that Malchus, it's like you're taking it, you get this idea. The inner aspect of Malchus is containing all of the previous nine spheres. And then you take it and you turn it upside down and it all flows into the next one. No. That's the pots and pans example,
right,
which we said doesn't work.
Right.
It's not true. Because there is a qualitative difference when we're calling it Malchus, of the upper level,
right,
to when we're calling it Keser of the lower level.
Right.
It's on your GPS coordinates, it would be exactly the same place. But in its function,
it's
two unrelated functions.
Right.
Receiver and Mashpia and giver.
Giver, right.
It's two different things.
Right. Right.
Okay? That's why we have, for example, the expression Aidi de Tara Lemivu Lepolit, which translates, if you're absorbing, you can't exude. It's a term referring to emelicha, salt and meat, which we're not going to go into right now. So we may have done it before. But the idea being also is, I've heard many a teacher in yeshiva tell a student, if you keep talking, you're not going to hear anything.
Yeah.
Because as long as you're exuding, you're not going to absorb anything.
Yeah.
So just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
Okay, don't try and figure it out. I'll give you a little piece of information, suddenly you're jumping and running. No. Listen to the whole thing, absorb the whole thing, and then when you understand it, then you can start giving it over. Okay, because while a person, and it talks about in all the Maimarim, that an outsider, somebody else, is a contradiction to thought.
Yes.
You're trying to sit and think, and someone's talking to you, that you're not going to be able to think.
Debating. Right.
Because when they're thinking, so now what's going on is now someone asks you a question, so now you have to respond. So it's the giver.
Right.
Okay? When a person's sitting and thinking, they're actually in receptive mode.
Oh, yes.
They're receiving from their intellect, they're receiving from their ratzon, and formulating ideas, and then when they're talking, they're in the giving over. They're in the influencer, the giver mode. Okay, so Malchus is one theme. Keser is a total other thing. In fact, you could say it's opposite. And just by the mere fact that the receiver becomes the giver, that's basically how the world works.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the point of receiving is in order to give.
In every aspect.
Yeah. And throughout creation.
Yeah, in every
That's aspect. It. But as it's a receiver, it's a receiver. And when it becomes a giver, so it's a giver. It's two
right.
different things.
Right.
So there is a bri yesh ma'ayin between every single world. But it's not a total separation. Because there's still points of reference between the two. But if you want to talk about physical world, physical world to spiritual, okay, so you want to say that Malchus of Asiya is at the bottom of the bottom realm of the spiritual world, is the creator, is where our chayas, our life force is coming from directly, which would be a true statement, but there's no point of comparability, because there's no such thing as the ten spheres of Asiya Gashmi, because where's Chochma? It's in you, okay, good, so you have the ten spheres, but it's only because you're patterned after it. But as far as the life force coming in to this physical world, it comes in, and that's what it does. Okay, it's true that there are different levels of life form, inanimate, plant, and animal, human. But there is no, in this case would be, a devolution that from people come animals, from animals come plants, from plants come become rocks. Because the chayas is going down. Like it is with, from chachma comes bina, from bina comes das, from das comes the emotions, from the emotions come malchus. So in the physical world, you don't have that. You don't have this connection from one kingdom to the other. Because the chayas basically just comes in automatically. Okay, the way Hashem is creating the world right now, so it's all happening instantaneously. And we don't, there is a Seder Solstice, there is a process, okay, good. And the 6 days of creation are an ongoing process, but it doesn't take 6 days for Hashem to create the world every year, every week. It's not that when we say that the creation is an ongoing process, continually, that Hashem is creating the world anew every single day. That doesn't mean that on Sunday Hashem said, let there be light, and on Monday he said, let there be space. What it means is every quantum unit of time, all 6 days of creation are happening. Okay, quantum unit of time is 23rd seconds, which is very quick. Okay, so you have all 6 days of creation are happening in that unit of time. In other words, what we're saying is, it's basically it's happening automatically, for all intents and purposes. That every split second, the entire 6 days of creation is occurring. Boom.
Trillion, trillion times, though.
It happens how many times per second? Yeah, exactly. Okay, which is why we don't notice any changes in time. We're not like, oh, what happened to time? There's a little gap there. No. You pause and then in the middle there was a little, and then you kept on talking. No, it's everything's smooth because it happens so fast. And the world is being created every 4 × 10²³ seconds new for this period of time. And then when the next one comes around, it's creating it new for that one. And each and every time, Hashem is creating it how He wants it to be in that small unit of time. Okay, we have a very bad example of this. It's called the flip book. You remember the little things inside the Cracker Jacks that you got?
The ones you drew yourself.
Or you drew yourself if you're so talented.
The stick figures.
Yeah. Okay. You drew it so that the thing was moving. All you had to do was like flip it.
Right.
So you needed like about
100 pages.
20 per second, I think, is what you needed. Okay, because that's what your eye would be able to catch. You just flip it up and the thing looks like it's moving because it's just, this is, page one is created this way and page two is created this way and page three it's created this way. Mm-hmm. And you put them all together so it looks like it's moving. So this is the way the creation is, an ongoing thing. V'yesh ma'ayin nikra b'riya b'lashna kodesh. Where is it that you have a true creation is specifically a something from nothing. Ba'gam shehayesha nivra hu gam ken kalo chashiv kameh. So now we have a lot of stuff. We have a universe that extends for 13 billion light years. Okay, if you were to put that into linear miles, that would be one large number.
Indeed. That's just the radius.
Right, well, Is it all the way across, or is it just from us? We're not the,
we don't know the center. Is.
We don't know the center. We are the center. What are you talking about?
Think we don't know that. If we were the center, then it's 13 billion.
Okay, in each direction. So it's 26 billion from end to end. Okay.
Only what we know. We don't know it all.
Yeah, so that's a lot. That's a lot
so
of.
So far.
Yeah, that's a lot of miles.
Yeah.
It's a long walk.
Yes. Okay, that's all considered like nothing before Hashem. Even though there is such a lot of stuff, why? Why is it that all that stuff, I mean, if you think about it, the theory is that the Big Bang would occur, so all the matter of the universe was about the size of a volleyball because there was no space in between. So if you're saying that all the matter of in the universe is the size of a volleyball, okay, how big is a volleyball compared to infinity? It's not very big. You know, so that this is their theory.
Or it's infinite.
This is not even our theory.
With no dimension, volleyball's infinite.
Well, there wouldn't be anybody to measure it.
You understand? I mean, either way, it's large or small, it's infinite.
It's nothing.
It's nothing, it's infinite.
Okay, compared to Hashem, the creator is kolochosh, it's like considered like nothing.
Of course.
That means to say, what does it mean it's like nothing? It's not nothing. He says it's like nothing.
Yeah.
That means it's batel b'metzius.
Yeah.
Batel b'metzius means nullified in its existence. Nullified in existence doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
No.
That would be batel b'tachlis.
Right.
Which is a different phrase. Batel b'tachlis means the thing doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay. Batel b'metzius means it has an existence. This is all explained in Shar Yechid Vamunah. Right? Mm-hmm. It has an existence, but it's totally and completely dependent upon the Chayis keeping it in existence for its existence.
Mm-hmm.
Like the example we give of the rock which you throw in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that the rock while it's up in the air is totally dependent upon the force which has been instilled into this rock keeping it in the air.
Right.
Okay, so its existence as a flying rock is as long as there's a force there keeping it up there flying.
Right.
So our existence, we're totally and completely dependent upon this force which is keeping us in existence. And when the force would stop, we'd cease to exist. So it is what, this force is what is giving us our existence.
Yes.
As opposed to say, batel b'tachlis, that we don't exist. Batel b'tachlis means it's not there.
Right.
There's a bittel b'yesh also, we're not going to talk about that right now. And where is it coming from? It's coming from the 10 spheres. It gives a nice GPS coordinates of the four worlds. Shehakav oriented Baruch Hu Meir Behem Kiziv Hashemesh B'Shemesh 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 Amarim Chelik Beis. And the godliness permeates, the godliness which is the infiniteness of Hashem, permeates into them, meaning all four worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about, we say that it's Silus is which is this letter, that is totally completely united with Hashem. With Bria we have something called Afsharius Hametzius, a possibility that something's going to exist. That's why what's there are Neshamais, which look like Hashem, and the higher Malachim, which are totally completely bottled to Hashem. Then you have Yetzir, which it says is Mechsel Machsa. It's half and half, because things have a form, but they have no substance. And then you have this world, which is Rubik Akula Ra, which is for the most part bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have this, but even though we have even this physical world, which poses an apparent opposition to the infiniteness of Hashem, because we're finite. The only thing that we can come up with and sort of kind of figure that's infinite are numbers. Okay, that's kind of sort of it. We don't even know what that means even. Okay, I don't know if they came up with numbers past decadrillion or something like that. If there's we start getting into Googleplex, okay, but a Googleplex is not a name. Okay, that's just 100 to the 100th power. Big deal. What do you call a Googleplex plus one? I mean, you know, sir. Big. You know, so we don't, but even though that's true, that this world poses a direct contradiction to the infiniteness of Hashem, but if you wanted to find the infiniteness of Hashem, where would you look? Yeah. Right here.
Yeah.
It's here. Because through the creation process, the godliness maintains its integrity. It's still infinite. An example, but a very bad example, is which we gave in the earlier parts of Tanya, is that of electricity coming off of the nuclear power station. It's at 50,000 volts. And coming into your phone as it's gone through all the step-down transformers and into your house and then into your little jack over there. It's coming in as 6 volts. And the only difference between Fermi 2 and what's going into your telephone is a number. But it's the same electricity. So we'll say that the only difference between the godliness before the first Tzimtzum and the godliness after the last Tzimtzum is exactly the same. What's different? The number. That's truly infinite. And this is truly finite. But other than that, it's exactly the same. Think about that one, but not while driving. Okay?
Indeed.
The higher Kamei Dafka. When we say that everything before him is like nothing, we say specifically before him it's like nothing. Why is it like nothing? Because, when you're talking about this, again, this is also talking Shariyachid Vamuna in chapter 7, that as far as Hashem is concerned, we don't exist. That's called Das Elyon. Okay, from Hashem's perspective, there's nothing that exists except for Hashem. Because what's the physical world? It's compressed godliness. Is it compressed to Hashem? No, it's not even compressed to Hashem. The infiniteness of Hashem never changes. We know that from a pasuk in Tillim. Ani Hashem lo shenisi. I think it's Tillim. It's not Tillim, it's somewhere in Novi. I Hashem, they haven't changed. Meaning to say that the godliness, the infiniteness stays the same. And that we know that that's from Hashem's perspective. Let's put it this way. Just because you put your glasses on this morning, are you a different person?
Yeah.
No, all that did was make it so you could see better.
Right.
But you're still the same person.
Right.
Okay, so the godliness coming into this world is the same godliness. It's just covered over. But when you're talking about our perspective, because that's what counts, Hashem has no problems with this.
Mm.
This subject matter for Hashem would not be considered hard. Gee, how could I have infinity and finiteness at the same time? Hashem answers, what finiteness?
Mm.
There's no finiteness.
Mm.
Where is there a problem is to us.
Yeah.
Okay? How are we sticking all this infiniteness into this small finiteness that we're in?
Mm.
With us, it's a given. Finite, infinite, we'll have to think about that. We'll talk about that. Hayesh hanivir hu davar nifrid legar yediyah v'hasagazu. Because from our perspective, we exist.
Mm.
And you can measure me. Okay? I have yet to meet a person who's infinite. And how come I consider myself to be infinite if according to Hashem, listen, who would you rather trust, me or God?
Mm.
If God says I don't exist, and all that exists is the infiniteness of Hashem, should go with that one. Rather than me who's trying to tell you, oh, by the way, you have 3 dimensions and you do exist.
Mm.
Okay, so better to listen to Hashem. And the reason why we don't, why don't people walk around going around thinking all there is infinity? Because what would we do to such a person? The only thing that exists is infinity.
Lock him up.
Lock him up.
Lock him up.
sorry, you don't fit in this world, because he doesn't fit into this world.
Yeah.
Because my understanding and comprehension is limited. How did it get to be limited? Answer, Hashem created it that
designed
way.
Designed it that way.
Hashem created it to be
designed.
To be finite. So if Hashem created it to be finite, and I'm trusting Hashem, as I said, given, I trust Hashem. So if Hashem tells me that from my perspective, things are limited, okay, I believe him, things are limited. This is what I know.
Don't have to look too far to prove that, do you?
No, not at all. Just looking at my own IQ. I mean, that's really limited. So the... So it's because we don't understand any other way of looking at it. V'gam ein arav zel lezeh klal. Lo'i minei v'lo'i miksasa. Ma'erek sho'il olo. Okay, and there's no point of comparability whatsoever. We said this at the onset. Okay, the cause is no relationship to the effect when it comes to the creation of the physical world. Because we talked about this last time. Forensically, you could look at the last domino and come to the conclusion it must have been the first domino that got this thing, whole thing started.
Mm.
Okay? Because there's a direct relationship between the first domino and the last domino. Whereas with the creation of something from nothing, There's no domino. How did I get here?
Quantum leap.
Yeah. How is this here? Okay. Science are going to do all kinds of wonderful things. Okay. So what did they come up with? They actually came up with something called the quantum leap, a big bang. Okay. But the only thing is that we're privileged to what's on this side of the big bang.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that they're going to figure out what's doing on the other side of the big bang.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to bother them either, because all they seem to be working on in the last 15 years
right.
is what's happening immediately prior to.
Right.
Excuse me, immediately post.
Yeah, yeah right after. Instantaneously after.
Right. right. Yeah. So at this point, they're down to like 3 picoseconds. Picosecond being a trillionth of a second.
Right.
Okay, they figured it out. They took out their little slide rules. And their graphing calculators,
yes.
And they got their when I was in high school, we used to call them the Wangs. Those were the programmable calculators.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
So stop playing on your Wang over there is what we used to say. And so they did all that, and they came out. Now they've been working really hard, so that they have it down to 3 picoseconds.
Right.
Okay. And what are they going to do in the next? Who knows? It's going. It's actually
find the fourth force.
It's happening. It's happening very, very quickly. How they're doing this, and within 5 years, they'll be able to tell you, spell it out, what was happening, 5 quadrillionths of a second, immediately after the Big Bang, which isn't very long whatsoever.
Hmm.
But what did we do? We just cut picoseconds in half.
Half, right.
That's all we did.
So.
Okay, and they'll cut quadrillion seconds in half, and they'll get deciseconds, whatever.
Still a billion quantum seconds.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, exactly.
So,
okay.
We'll be created a billion times at least.
And the best that they'll ever get to is 20 times 4 to the minus 26. Because they're working and they can manage to get down to 5 of something. So 5 times 4 to 5 times 4 to times 10 to the 26th power is 20 times 10 to the 26th power, minus 26th power, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. When they get to that point, they can hang up their slide rules. Because they're not going to get any closer. They're never going to get to zero. They're never for sure not going to get to the negative, because there's no way they can. Math doesn't go there.
Right.
We have no knowledge.
Dimensions don't fit.
There is nothing. There's not even. It's not even. It's not even to say a dimension, because the word dimension only exists once there's a bang.
Right.
So there's no such thing as
dimension. There's no.
And even the call dimensionless
no
doesn't make any sense.
There's
no relationship whatsoever.
No relation.
You can't put a label on it.
No relation.
So that's where our circle is limited. So therefore, I exist. Okay, and the best that I can do in my relationship with Hashem is to say, I exist because Hashem told me I exist. Okay, think about that. I mean, you know, because it's really true. Why is it? It's a true thing. It's a true statement. It's not false when I say I exist.
Exactly.
It's 100% true.
How is I exist because Hashem wills me to exist?
Correct.
How do I know I exist?
Been told, like you said.
Hashem says. Okay? Bara arts. Hashem created the heaven and the earth, and here we are. It's a pasuk in Chumash.
You're not an imagination.
I'm not imagining anything.
You're okay? Not an imagination.
Correct. In my, from my perspective, I do exist only because Hashem told me I exist.
Right.
I trust Hashem to be sure. Hashem doesn't lie. So I have this existence. Only because I don't understand how the other things don't exist. And between the cause and the effect, there's really not a big difference. What's the difference between the first, second, the first and second domino? One's first, one's second. That's the only difference. Okay, one was a recipient of the effect of the first domino.
It's only relational.
Right.
It's only relational, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's a very interesting thing. If you are going to use the domino effect for an example of Ilu V'olol, there's something very important missing from the domino theory. What caused the first domino to fall down?
Right, exactly.
There's no
the
way. There is way.
There's no cause
to determine by looking at the first one. Looking at the last domino, you could see it was down because of the first domino.
Right.
But there is no way to determine
the first
what
domino.
Caused the first domino
correct.
To fall.
Yeah. There's no determination of first cause.
Correct.
It's not apprehendable.
Okay. That's all that we can deal with.
It's not apprehendable.
Okay, so what you can do is you could start negating. What you might say is, somebody pushed it. That's what you would conclude. Somebody pushed it. Okay, do we have any proof? Do we have anything? No, we have nothing there. Okay, so how do we get here? Hashem must have created us. Do we have any proof? No, we don't. But what else are we going to do? Okay, now you can come up with all kinds of really good theories as to how the first domino got pushed. An earthquake.
Right.
Yeah, an earthquake. Okay? A bomb went off. And a shockwave pushed the first domino. Basically, it's all the same thing.
The dog.
The dog did it.
We're going to be in this role, I'll just say the dog.
The dog. Yeah, well, you know, if you're dyslexic, dog is God.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Well, they're going to do it that way. It's like,
oh, yes. So, you call
it
God. We're
not talking about the first domino in the universe. Then.
Yeah, that becomes God. Okay?
Yeah.
So, we don't know what it is. I mean, you look at how Rambam defines God as being the first cause.
Right.
God's the finger that pushed the domino.
God is the cause.
That's how Rambam defines it.
Right.
It says, if we got a down domino, it must have been a finger that pushed it. That's his conclusion.
Really, it's some God... Will
God cause
will the force that turned that created the domino
cause
and gave it the energy to in this another world gave it the energy to go over.
Yeah. So what?
So cause implies
you didn't solve any problems with that statement.
Yeah,
sorry.
No. It's deeper. It goes deeper than the first cause.
Cause implies intent. That's all.
Okay. So
Plato would say,
you know, we would never know.
Intent comes from desire.
Okay, yeah. So there's no big difference between the cause and the effect.
Right.
Rosh is that, Elul is that. Oh, the difference is, like we said before, this is domino number one, this is domino number two. V'loyim yinei miksosa v'hafer shebein mohus ha-yesh ha-nivr la-mohus ha-kech v'ha-or ha-shefei abo la-havasa ma'ayin li-yesh, which you cannot do in the relationship between a physical entity and the godliness enlivening it. You can't say, because What's the difference between domino number one and domino number two? They're both dominoes. They have a relationship with each other, a direct relationship of cause and effect, whereas the physical source of, the spiritual source of our physical world is no way comparable. It's not a domino. It's not even to say, we would like to say that the world of Yetzir, this is where translations get really bad. The world of Yetzir is a world of formation. What does formation mean? It has a form, it has no substance. So would that mean, therefore, that there must be some sort of a spiritual me in the world of Yetzirah? If my existence is coming from the world of Yetzirah, there has to be a spiritual form of me. And that spiritual form becomes now like the guide, the die cast for me. He says, okay, no, I'm not walking around in Yetzirah. And the source of my neshama doesn't look like my neshama. And for sure not the source of my body doesn't look like my body. Okay, the source of body, I'm going to go to the source of neshama right now because he's not doing that. But the source of my body not looking like my body, I can understand that. Okay, physical example. You put your arm, your hand underneath a microscope, a real strong microscope. You're not going to see hand. You're not going to see tissue. You're going to see what the body's really made up of on an atomic level. If you have such a strong microscope. Okay? But the... that atom doesn't look anything like a person.
No.
Okay? I zero in on my own hand to the point where I can see the atoms that comprise the composition of who I am, or actually of what I am.
Right.
Okay? There's no point of comparability between that atom and my hand.
Correct.
Even though you want to say, but your hand is made up of a whole bunch of atoms, but no. If my hand were working on atomic theory, I'd be able to put my hand right through you. It doesn't work that way. Okay? And I'm sure there are physicists that could just blow holes in what I just said, but I'm not going there right now. Because I'd have to blow holes in what he would say. So, comparably speaking, and if you're just talking now, let's put it into coarser terminology. Every, even an inanimate object has godliness enlivening it. Mm. So the godliness enlivening it, as it comes down, if you want to say it's through channels, it's through tzimtzum, it's through letters, whatever system you want to say it is that's doing it, they're all good. So there's no point of comparison between the godliness which is bringing that rock into existence and that rock. The godliness that's going into that rock, if you were to draw a picture of it, would not look like a rock.
Right. Correct.
It would look like godliness. It would look like a very less intensive godliness than, say, the godliness in the world of Yetzirah, the world of Atzilus. But it would be godliness. And no way comparable to the rock in which enlivens it. I'll do a little more. Velachei nikri yesh ma'ayin dafka. That's why it's called a something for nothing. Okay, because we appear to be the something. And where do we come from? We haven't got a clue. We don't know. Okay. It's like the really bad joke that I say 85% of the time when I'm shopping and the guy, the checkout person scans the barcode and nothing happens. And they get all like flustered because they're scanning it and it's not coming up. And my response to them is, oh, it must be free.
Mm.
Okay, it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't worked yet.
Hasn't worked yet, no? No,
it hasn't worked yet.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what we call it, a yesh ma'ayin. It's a something.
And we don't know where it's coming from, so we have no clue where it's coming from. So we call this something where we call the entity from whence it's coming a nothing. V'hine reishis hayesh hanivra v'tilasehein hakelim v'yud sfiras d'viyah. This is actually a whole new thing. This is going to warrant a lot more explaining just to get through the next couple of lines. So rather than running through it, so we'll stop here.
Yeah,
we're on Kuf Lamed, fourth line. Hini Reishis Hayesh, to be continued. Good.